I'm sure you remember actor Christopher Reeve of Superman fame, right? He was in a wheelchair for the last almost 10 years of his life after a riding accident. He was paralyzed from the neck down. He needed a ventilator. But until his death in 2004, he was a tireless advocate for aggressive research into reversing spinal cord damage. And this is not something people thought was realistic at that time, but Reeve never accepted his condition as final. There's even a Super Bowl commercial from the year 2000. It forecast a bright future, and it featured Reeve.
Tonight we celebrate a remarkable breakthrough in spinal cord injuries,
made possible by countless researchers and contributors. And to present this award, we have some very special guests.
And here the camera pans to a pair of feet walking slowly toward the stage. And then we see Christopher Reeve, Superman, walking once again. This didn't happen for Reeve, but he was right in envisioning major leaps and innovation in this area. For example, scientists are already able to hook people up to robotic limbs that they can move with their minds. But there's still a big problem to solve. People controlling the robotic arm don't get any sensory feedback. It's difficult to know how hard to grip an object or where your prosthetic hand is if you can't actually feel anything with it. Reporter Liz Reed explains how scientists are not only sending information from the brain to the robotic limbs, but also from the limbs back to the brain.
In 2004, Nathan Copeland, who was 18 at the time, was driving home in the rain and lost control of his car.
I was almost home, too. I was like 2 miles from home.
He suffered a spinal cord injury and is now paralyzed from the neck down. He has an electronic wheelchair that he operates with the limited mobility in his arms, but he doesn't feed or dress himself. His favorite hobbies are things he can do from his chair, video games, anime, and the role-playing card game Magic the Gathering. I first met Copeland in Pittsburgh at a showcase for cutting-edge scientific research called the White House Frontiers Conference. He was there to demonstrate a robotic arm developed at the University of Pittsburgh. A few times a week for the past year and a half, Copeland has made the hour-long trip from his home in rural southwestern Pennsylvania to participate in research that probably won't ever change his own life.
But eventually, down the road, it's really going to help all kinds of people. It'll really improve their lives, even something as simple as being able to feed yourself can really make a life better.
Surgeons placed 4 implants in Copeland's brain that send signals to his brain cells. Each implant is about 1 inch square with 100 tiny hairs sunk into his brain. 2 devices sit in the part of the brain that controls movement, and 2 are in the section that processes sensation. They're hard to see through his thick brown hair, but 2 metal bolts protrude out of Copeland's head. Each time he comes to the bioengineering lab in Pittsburgh, researchers attach his brain to the robotic arm by screwing thick gray cables onto the bolts in his head. These implants make Copeland one of the first humans ever to feel something he's not actually touching.
There's about 4 or 5 different sensations that I can feel. So the most common is like a pressure or a tingling. Sometimes it's like warm. There's one that's really weird and hard to describe. I just call it spidey sense.
Think about this. He hasn't been able to use his arms or legs for over a decade, but now he can once again feel the touch of another person. So we shook hands. He had a strong grip, but he had kind of toned it down. And then we gave each other a fist bump.
President Obama spoke at the Frontiers Conference shortly after he and Nathan met.
That's what science does. That's what American innovation can do. And imagine the breakthroughs that are around the corner. Imagine what's possible for Nathan if we keep on pushing the boundaries.
There are still major hurdles to jump over before this technology can go into clinical trials. The most obvious one is those large, clunky cables sticking out of Copeland's head.
That's not a solution.
That's Pitt biomedical engineer Rob Gaunt.
This is a temporary thing that we need to do this research right now. But that has got to go away. We can't send people home with those things.
Gott says ideally this technology would be wireless, and there are several research institutions and private companies all over the world working on the problem.
I think actually there's a lot of optimism that within a couple of years, these devices really will achieve that wireless capability. But these are hard problems. These are the types of things that have never been done before in terms of putting wireless devices in the human body.
Gott says the team could be as much as 10 years away from clinical trials. His boss, Michael Boninger, looks even further ahead.
So do I think we'll have full recovery in 100 years? The answer is yes. I completely believe that. I think that I'm not going to be the person who's working on that, but I'm hoping that they'll build off of what we've done here at the University of Pittsburgh.
Boninger envisions these bioengineering advances being used in concert with biological advances in the field of stem cell research. And he says that Luke Skywalker-type hand from The Empire Strikes Back is likely to one day be not science fiction, but just science. For The Pulse, I'm Liz Reed.